Now we come to the third division here, and that God overturns idols. Now that begins in verse 21. God says here, "Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob." Now this is a challenge to idolaters. Now who is an idolater? Anything that you put between your soul and God, that's your idol. I don't care what it is. Anything you're giving your time to, your energy to, and it could actually be to a religion, but anything that you give yourself to and let it take the place of the living God and a personal relationship with Him. Now, to begin with, what can idols do? Can they explain the origin of the universe to man? Are you satisfied today with the explanations that evolution is given? Of course, it's only white evolutionists that you listen to, because they've got several explanations. But God says, let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, to declare unto us things for to come. Now, man today doesn't know the beginning, the origin of everything. He doesn't know. I don't care what you follow today. It's going to be a rather embarrassing thing in the next 50 years when evolution will be abandoned as just one of the many theories that's left along the wreckage of the highway of time. There have been many explanations of the origin of the universe that were called scientific at that time. They're exploded today. They're no good. Evolution will be exploded in its time, and then man will turn to something else, you see. Man doesn't know his origin, and he doesn't know the future. Man is a very ignorant creature. Have you ever stopped to think really how little you know? And I'd like now to say that to the PhDs that listen to this program. I heard of a preacher, I think he's over here in Phoenix, Arizona, or somewhere in Arizona. He was working on his PhD degree. And I understand that his PhD degree was granted him, but he was working on the great subject of studying the eye of the mosquito. Now, my friend, there is an exciting subject. And one day, he just as he was working on this and had been really interested in it, all of a sudden it occurred to him that he didn't want to spend the rest of his life looking at a mosquito in the eye. And I wouldn't think that would be, you know, too exciting. I wouldn't mind taking one or two looks, but after that, I think it became monotonous, and this man came to that conclusion. And he began to move out from that, and he found the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He said, I want to give my life now to something worthwhile. And today, he's a minister of the gospel. Quite interesting, you know, how you can spend your life down here, and you may have your PhD degree, and still you don't know anything. Don't know anything about the origin of this universe. Or you don't know where it's going. Now, no idol can tell you that. And no PhD degree can give you that answer. No college today can give that to you. It's well to turn to the one who does have the answer. And it doesn't mean he'll give you the answer, but it's nice to know him who knows the answer. Let me refer you again to a motto that's meant a great deal to me. In the science building of the college that I attended, there was on the bulletin board a statement. I'll never forget it. I never learned much science, but it was worth taking all the courses I took there just to get this motto, because that's probably all I know today. And it's this: next to knowing is knowing where to find out. Now, there's so many things I don't know, but I want to say this to you. I know the one who does know, and I can find out from him. Now, he's not letting me in on a lot of things. Now, will you notice verse 24 here? Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught, an abomination is he that chooseth you. Now, man cannot explain his past, does not know his future apart from God. And therefore, it makes all a man's efforts today apart from God a very empty sort of thing. I'll be very candid with you today. If I had no hope, as I said to a man that came up to me in my first pastorate, he had an old rusty pistol. He said to me, he says, if you can't give me a good reason for living, why, I'm going to solve all my problems by taking my life. Well, now, what do you do with a fellow like that? And he's got an old rusty, I guess it was a .45, big old gun. And I said to him, I said, now, look here just a moment. I said, if you can show me that you will solve your problems by taking your life, I said, I'll be glad to go get you a better gun than the one you got and let you do a good job. If you can show me, you'll solve your problem. I said, very candidly, if you are not going to turn to God and to Christ, not going to bring him in your life, I said, you just, well, use the gun. I see no reason why you shouldn't. Well, that really took the fellow aback because he thought that I was going to begin to argue with him about the reasons for living. I'm not even about to argue with him on that point. And may I say to you, that fella put his gun down, and at that time he didn't turn to Christ, but he did later on. He has the answer. He's the only one that does. Now, will you notice here, and I come to the last verse, verse 29. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. Now, confusion is the end result of idolatry or any philosophy which is anti-God or atheistic. It doesn't have the answer to the problems of life. These man-made systems cannot satisfy the human heart. The answer is found in the one who bringeth good tidings of great joy.